Will there be a deal this week to raise the federal debt ceiling?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Lawmakers in Washington are working frantically to reach a deal to raise the $14.3 trillion federal borrowing limit in exchange for trillions of dollars in spending cuts. The Treasury Department has set an August deadline for a debt ceiling increase to keep the nation from defaulting, but lawmakers are trying to reach a deal before the 4th of July recess. Democratic Congressman Chris Van Hollen is one of the chief debt ceiling negotiators for his party, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So will there be a deal to raise the debt ceiling and cut spending and or raise taxes by the end of this week, do you think?
Well, we're working very hard to get an agreement in principle, either by the end of this week or the end of next, or reach the point where we recognize we can't get a deal, but everybody's working very hard to try and reach an agreement.
And an agreement in principle, you mean sort of lay out a framework but not write it into law right away?
That's right. It would take some time to translate whatever agreement in principle may be reached into law.
What about this idea from the Republican Senate leadership about a temporary increase in the debt limit to sort of satisfy the markets, and then you have another debate on cuts later this year or early next year?
Well, we're very focused on trying to raise the debt ceiling in a way that runs through the end of next year. We think having to do a series of debt ceiling increases actually creates more uncertainty in the marketplace. Better to get it done all at once if we can.
If we're talking about trillions of dollars in cuts to go along with trillions of dollars in debt limit increases, how do you expect those to be felt by ordinary Americans?
Whatever we do, need to make sure that it has no negative impact on jobs. I'm not saying people won't feel it, but the idea is to have the impact spread out over a period of time so you don't have a big jolt to the economy.
If there were no Republicans in Washington, would your preference be to just raise the debt limit with no cuts, no tax increases?
If forced to choose between a deficit reduction plan that hurt the fragile economy and was unbalanced compared to raising the debt ceiling, I would raise the debt ceiling. We need to make sure we do not default. That would create an economic catastrophe, not my words, those of Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve. And playing a game of chicken with defaulting on the debt is a very dangerous game.
Democratic Congressman Chris Van Hollen, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Well, the congressman mentioned the Federal Reserve. The central bank wraps up a two-day meeting today. Economists are waiting to see if the Fed will, as expected, end its monetary stimulus measures despite the recent slow patch in the economy. And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed right now across Europe and Asia. Google has reached 1 billion unique visitors a month, according to new figures from Comscore. That's up 8% from last year. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow felt lucky. It jumped 109 points to close at 12,190. Well, the Mortgage Bankers Association said this morning that applications for mortgages dropped last week despite an average interest rate of 4.5% for a standard home loan. One of the hurdles to buying a house these days is a 20% minimum down payment. And today, a group of lawmakers will say that hurdle is too high. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
At 20%, the buyer of an average-priced home would have to bring $40,000 cash to closing. Barry Zigas with the Consumer Federation of America says that puts homeownership out of reach.
The proposed regulation would consign an entire class of renters today to being renters for a very long time.
But regulators say no or low down payments are why so many homebuyers now owe more than their property is worth. Peter Wallison at the American Enterprise Institute says homebuyers need to put more skin in the game.
When a home buyer puts more money into the home in the form of a down payment, the home buyer has made a commitment to the home and is likely to stay with that commitment.
The Consumer Federation's Barry Zigas says borrowers shouldn't suffer for the sins of banks.
We think the current crisis was caused by the complete abandonment of responsible underwriting principles.
Consumer groups say strengthen lending standards but leave minimum down payments alone. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For a unique look at all of our marketplace business and economic sustainability coverage, visit marketplace.org and click on the Sustainability tab.
Well, now to Silicon Valley. With the recent initial public offerings from LinkedIn and Pandora and the coming IPOs from Groupon and Facebook, seems like the IPO market is going wild right now. But a survey out this morning finds venture capitalists don't think so at all. From the Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman has our story.
Talk about euphoria. Did you watch LinkedIn's IPO launch?
Anytime you see an IPO pop that much on the first
You can be forgiven for thinking all this euphoria means the whole startup economy is in good shape.
We've gone from a D- to a C+.
That's Mark Heeson of the National Venture Capital Association. Its survey finds 9 out of 10 venture capitalists think the financial markets are still too weak to support a lot of IPOs. The number of IPOs is up a bit this year, but Heeson says it's still half what's needed, and cautious investors only have eyes for the likes of Facebook and Groupon.
By no means to denigrate what's happening in the social media space, but we're seeing life science companies, medical devices, still having a hard time to go public. Our clean tech companies, they're job creators, they're innovative. These are companies that could go international.
What has gone international, companies from China, India, and Russia have launched some of the most successful recent IPOs. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And finally, some industries are cutting back in this economy, but not the bourbon industry in Kentucky. Distilleries there have been spending millions of dollars expanding to quench the worldwide thirst for bourbon. In fact, about 5 million barrels of this stuff are aging right now in the state. That's the most since the early 80s. And since the state has a population of 4.3 million people, it is now easier to find a barrel of bourbon than a resident in the state of Kentucky. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In the United Arab Emirates, a government job can mean security and status and sometimes a fatal lack of innovation.
You look up at these concepts and you go, why don't we have that in Abu Dhabi? And it's the simplest thing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, turning Emiratis into entrepreneurs next time on Marketplace. The numbers from Wall Street and the rest of the day's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.